Welcome to New York.
If I'm waiting for you, welcome to New York. Welcome to New York.
I keep saying, bring a broken heart, put them in a drawer. You know what I'm saying?
What's yes. That line? take our broken hearts, put them in a drawer. Everybody here was someone else before. And you can love who you love. Boys and girls.
She said gay rights.
She did. Taylor said gay rights. 2014, gay marriage is not legal.
I know, literally.
I mean, it is in New York, but it's not legal in the greater United States. And I said, get to New York City, boys and girls.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the podcast.
And welcome to Lena's Brooklyn apartment.
Oh my gosh.
No sleep till Brooklyn. Burn it, burn, burn,
burn, burn it. This is when I find out that I don't actually know how the instrumental break in that song goes.
Oh my God. Welcome to my Brooklyn apartment. It's probably very echoey because I've got zero furniture. Currently, I haven't even unpacked because there's nowhere to put anything. I don't have hangers. Or drawers to put my broken heart in.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So it's very echoey. So we took a red eye flight last night. Like we got on the flight at like 11 p.m. I didn't sleep on the flight at all because I'm not awesome like that. And then
you're also tall. Airplanes are not built for tall people to sleep.
I could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on about how like coach on an airplane is like my personal hell, mm-hmm. but I'm always, you know, I'm a poor person, so I'm always flying coach. Anyway, so that was terrible. And it was like, my knee always like gets on fire because I'm like trying to like tuck it underneath mm-hmm. myself. And I'm like, I can't sit like this for 4 hours. Anyway, that's so stupid. That's not stupid, but that's not the story. So I didn't sleep on the plane at all. We land here at like 6 a.m. We get to the apartment at like 7 a.m. And then we take a sheet that was in my roommate's apartment. And then he ordered pillows. And we just slept on the floor for like 7 hours.
The dream.
I know. Honestly, it was... I was on the plane and I was like, I'm going to sleep on the floor. I'm living there on the cold on ground. No, for real. I was like, I'm just going to sleep on the floor. I'm not going to do anything today. I'm not going to like worry about anything. I'm going to just sleep on the floor because red eye flights ruin your life. Have you taken one? It was my first one.
Yeah, I take red eyes every time I'm paying for my own
flight.
Really? Yeah, because I'm a cheapskate.
Are they less expensive?
Yeah. Red eyes are usually less expensive. So I'm always, I mean, sometimes I'll do like, it leaves at like 5. Mm-hmm. So it's not a red eye.
Yeah.
But
your eyes are red.
Exactly. But usually I'm doing like a leaves at like 3 or 4.
Right.
Yeah. Well, here we are. Hello, my name is Ian Allred. I'm a Gleek.
Hey, my name is Lena Knatzer and I'm a Gleek.
We're currently sitting on the floor in Lena's future bedroom, using a suitcase as a table to put our mics on. It's pretty exciting.
I know. Isn't my apartment kind of cute?
It's very cute. It's very big.
Well, I live
you
in Brooklyn.
Pull the Rachel Berry and Kurt Hummel.
It's not that big.
But it's certainly bigger than mine.
Well, yeah, you live in Manhattan. I live in Brooklyn. I think that's just like the way it is. I was telling you, I was watching one of my favorite movies is You've Got Mail, and it's mm-hmm. set on the West Side. So I was like, oh my God, that's Ian's neighborhood. I was like, I can't wait to go visit Ian and just see all the sights of my favorite movie. And there's this part where the girl who works in the shop is like, if I lose this job, I'm going to have to move to Brooklyn. And my mom went, hey, girl. It's like, I'm beating her to the punch. I'm moving to Brooklyn first. But it isn't nice.
It is.
Yeah.
No, this apartment is lovely. Yeah. Do you want to say your address into the microphone for everyone?
Yeah, it is. No.
Why?
I'm mostly nervous that people will send me hate mail.
Oh, okay.
Not that people will visit, but people will send me hate mail. Could you imagine that they'd be hate mail?
That's a dedicated hater. To snail mail you hate, at that point, you kind of have to respect it.
Stamps are expensive.
Yeah. Well, shoot. Here we are in New York, and here we are talking about the Glee Project.
This is the first time we've also been together in a minute.
I know.
Missed you, buddy.
In a long, long time. Missed you, too. And now we're going to be together all the time. We live in the same city.
We live an hour away, though.
I know. It's
just one train, right?
It's two. It's not terrible.
I haven't left. You were like, I've seen a Popeyes. And I said, oh, good. I didn't know. I didn't know about the Popeyes. Oh, my gosh. I don't have a bed. Don't have Wi-Fi. But you know what I got?
What?
A dream in my heart.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. An unbreakable spirit.
Yeah. And I've got a hotspot so I can watch the Glee Project.
Speaking Is that of, what you did today?
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, I mean, I woke up from my nap, my 7-hour long nap, and I said, Caden, my roommate, do you want to watch the Glee Project? And we did, and it was fun. These episodes are crazy.
They are very good.
They're very good. And it brought back a lot of memories of like watching them as a tween. I was like 14 when these episodes came out.
Mm-hmm.
15 maybe?
2012.
12, 13, 14, so you were probably
15 because mm-hmm. it was summer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was almost 15 then. What? Math. 2012, 13, 14, 96, 15,
right?
16. Yeah, I would have been 15 and yeah. 16. I was older than I thought. I was like, oh my gosh, I was a baby when I watched this. Wait.
Yes.
When did Pitch Perfect come out?
Pitch Perfect came out my senior year of high school, so it's the fall after
your
this.
Senior year?
Uh-huh. So, Glee Project Season 2 airs.
Why are you so old?
I don't know. And then Pitch Perfect comes out in like October of 2012, something like that. I literally remember because I saw it in theaters and I thought to myself, this is my Mean Girls.
Mean Girls is your Mean Girls.
No, Mean Girls is my Mean Girls. It is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah.
But you know, like when I watch Mean Girls, I am like, oh, this is how high school was for my siblings.
Yeah.
Like I remember them and they and their friends would dress like this. But like, that's not how I was dressing in high school.
Yeah. And so I was wearing those weird cardigans over t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like they were on Pitch Perfect.
Exactly. So then I saw Pitch Perfect. And I mean, Pitch Perfect is a college movie, but it's like their first semester of college.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is me. They're only a few, like a year older than me. This is my Mean Girls.
I remember, I have said this before. When I saw it, I was like, I remain that it is very funny. I was like, this is the funniest movie that's ever been a movie. It is the like peak of comedy. It is so good.
I was about to say it still is.
It still is. Okay, but I was like, but genuinely, I was like, I have never laughed this hard in my life when I saw it. What makes me think that is the I Want to Sex You Up a cappella style. Uh-huh. I was like, this is Pitch Perfect. Like Pitch Perfect copped this whole idea.
Wow. I'm glad that that's what you thought of and not the a cappella's performance when they sing Sex You Up. Because that's certainly
what I thought of.
It was traumatic.
I fully forgot.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
They did that first.
Yeah. The a cappella sang Sex You Up with Finn and Puck and Sandy Ryerson and Howard Bamboo.
And Howard Bamboo, miss you.
Actually, I think Howard may have... Was he in the group still at that point?
Actually, I think they kicked him out.
Yeah, I think they kicked him out. Mm-hmm. That's right. Or he quit because Finn. Terry told him he had to quit.
That's right. We should go back and rewatch season one.
Oh, I thought you were going to say specifically Acapellas.
No.
And I was like, do we have
Acapellas is so bad. But Acapellas is fun, at least.
Yeah.
Is it? I don't remember.
I don't know. It's better than Mash Off. Do you want to get into the Glee Project?
I do.
Let's hit it. Okay.
So...
If we're talking about Glee Project Season 2, we're talking about Episode 3, Sexuality, and Episode 4, Adaptability. If you want to watch along with us, which we know you do, you can find these episodes.
Allegedly.
On our subreddit.
Allegedly.
r/recoveringgleek.
This is a rumor.
There is a post that says, like, Facebook links for Glee Project Season 2. You can just type it into the search bar, and then it'll have a link to every single episode. So go check that out. It's also on our Discord on the general tab under the pinned comments, mm-hmm. all of the links.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to watch along with us, do that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We're going to get into it. So, first
up. I just don't want it to, like, we could get in trouble if we were, like, telling people to, like, stream things, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's true. I mean, we didn't upload them.
I didn't. I didn't upload.
I don't see Oxygen offering like DVDs that
they
you
should.
Can buy.
That's the thing is, I don't know why these people would want to cover this up for any reason.
Anyways.
So.
First off, we're talking about sexuality. So the episode Sexuality, it aired on June 26th, 2012, about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months before Pitch Perfect came out. Don't quote me on that. I don't know what month Pitch Perfect came out. The homework assignment for this episode.
I don't have Wi-Fi.
The homework assignment for this episode was Sex You Up by Color Me Badd. It's got two D's.
Good.
Made famous by the Acapellas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then copied in Pitch Perfect. I'm very glad that one of us has pleasant memories of that song because I don't. Also, do they sing this in Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, in like the thing in the pool.
Yeah, the riff off. Uh-huh. All I remember is the "Let's talk about sex, baby." Mm-hmm. Let's talk about.
I feel like I could sing along with that, like the entire thing. It's got a. No, I'm not gonna do it. I'm trying to stack the songs on top of each other. Like, it's stupid. Anyway, keep going.
Over right now. Okay. The guest mentor for the homework assignment is Naya Rivera. The winner of the homework assignment is Charlie. For the music video, they are doing a mashup of Moves Like Jagger by Maroon 5 and Milkshake by Kellis. I may have mispronounced that. I'm so sorry if I did. Truly thank goodness that it's a mashup with Milkshake, because when they said a mashup of Moves Like Jagger, mm-hmm. and I was like, so help me.
War flashbacks.
If Robert Ulrich says Jumpin' Jack Flash, I am turning the show off. I cannot watch that performance.
I fully forgot about that, but easily it's like the worst thing that ever happened on season three.
It's for sure. I mean, all three of us agreed in the season wrap up. It is unanimously the worst mashup up in season three. It's terrible. Okay, so that's the music video. The bottom three are Charlie. He sings I Get a Kick Out of You by Frank Sinatra. Tyler, they sing Smile by Charlie Chaplin. Michael, he sings Lucky by Jason Mraz. The person who's not called back is Tyler. We have to issue an apology right here, everyone. So we purposely like haven't been, you know, looking, like going out of our way to like look up what these contestants are up to, just because I don't know the order they get voted off. Mm-hmm. And Lena hasn't seen it since it aired. So we want to avoid spoilers. So when we were looking up Tyler to see where they're at now, we found out that they go by they, them pronouns. Mm-hmm. Our apologies.
Yes.
We will be using they, them pronouns from here on out. But that's sexual. That's our little, you know, that's your recap on sexuality. Let's get into the nitty gritty of this thing. Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Right off the bat, Michael talking about how he thinks math is sexy. I just think he is Michael. Did I say Matthew? I don't remember.
I believe it.
Maybe I'm mixing up math and
you Matt. You said right Michael? Off the bat, Matthew says Mike is sexy. That's what you said.
Yeah, that's what I said. Michael says math is sexy. Michael is such like an interesting character to me, and all of his talking heads kind of come back to him being like obsessed with academia, where it's like, I'm very sexual. I'm very confident in my sexuality, but I also think math is sexy. And then in adaptability, he's like, I'm very good at being adaptable. That's like my whole thing is like, you know, getting an assignment and doing it good and correctly. And I was like, Michael's whole thing is just very weird to me. It just makes me laugh. And all his talking heads, I think, are bunk is because he's just talking about math.
No, it is like editors and producers, I dare you to give Michael a personality outside of math. I guarantee his producers are giving him leading questions because they're like, shoot, we got like these three white straight boys on this season. How do we differentiate them? And so they're like, I don't know, Michael, you're an academic. Mm-hmm. So how does this assignment relate to math? And Michael's probably like,
it doesn't.
We're singing. why am I talking about calculus?
Probably. Oh, I love that. That's one of my like dream professions. If the whole acting thing doesn't work out for me, is being a producer on a TV show and just being an instigator of drama.
Yeah.
And an instigator of like thinking math is sexual, you know? I love it. Off the bat, that's so weird.
That is probably the most bonkers reality show archetype I've ever seen.
I know.
We've got Eileen, she's the flirt. You've seen it on reality TV shows before. And then, like, we got
Nelly, she's the awkward.
Yeah, we got Nelly, she's like the really nervous one. Like, you've seen that on reality TV before. And then we got Michael, and he's the one who's always talking about math. Like, you know, when you watch competitions and there's that one person who's like, won't stop talking about math? No, I don't.
No, I actually don't.
Oh my gosh.
I've never known those people.
So Michael really has to channel his sexual attraction to math. in order to bring it for this like, homework assignment.
Y equals MX plus B. Which is that the right
sucks you up.
Don't correct me if
I don't know. I wiped all of math out of my brain.
I took math in college my freshman year and then stopped.
Oh, me too. It was terrible. So they're singing Sex You Up for the homework assignment. Naya Rivera is the judge. Oh, frankly, a big blow to have Corey and Naya back to back.
I was just thinking that.
Whoa.
I know. Like, I got very emotional seeing Corey Monteith come through that door. And then seeing Naya the next time, I was like, oh my gosh. And her smiling. I just, again, very emotional.
Yeah.
I just love her. Like, who planned that?
I mean.
The universe.
I was going to say, it's just weird happenstance.
Mario says something funny about her. He goes, she's so sexy, I can see it. It made me laugh. Oh.
So they sing Sex You Up. It is sexuality week. Much like season one, the homework assignment is just these nine kids rubbing. I guess it's 10. I don't remember the number that's left. These however many kids fully rubbing up on each other for 2 minutes.
It is so... Like, we talked about last week ad nauseum about how, like, the awkwardness is kind of gone. The awkwardness is back in this episode.
Oh, it's,
and I think that's just inherent when you ask, like, 18-year-olds to, like, be sexy on camera like that. Yeah. Like, I think it's just, of course it is, you know?
These kids are brave.
I know.
Some of the things they were doing, I was like, hello? There's a moment where, and obviously, like, no one seems like taken aback by what's happening.
Yes.
So like, it seems pretty clear that they all planned this with each other.
Yeah, they were like, and then I'll go do this and you do this.
But like, Lily puts her hand on Adam's upper thigh.
On Abraham.
I wrote Adam in my notes. Thank you, Abraham. She puts her hand on Abraham's upper thigh and then slides all the way down.
Like, that's so close to his privates.
And then Charlie, full hand fully on Eileen's butt, just rubbing her butt during the song. What's that about?
Well, I am convinced those two were like the entire time.
Oh, I think so too. There's a lot of Charlene in these two episodes. It is like a very big plot point of the season.
It's frankly like unnerving. I'm like, that I don't ship it per se, but I'm just like,
It's also so funny to me because Charlie is like so head over heels for Eileen. And he just keeps talking about, you know, how Eileen's got swagger.
Yeah.
How, like, Eileen is, like, so pretty and she's so cool and she's so whatever. And then they'll cut to Eileen's talking heads. And she's like, I don't know, like, I think Charlie's cute or whatever, but, like, I'm here to win a competition.
I know.
Like,
honestly,
she is so not into it.
I think that's half the reason I like their relationship so much is because Charlie is so into her and she's like, no, for real, I like him, but I'm not here to date him.
So she's like, I'm flirting for fun. And Charlie's like, I think we're going to date after this.
And he's like, I don't know what's going on with me and Eileen, but I like it. She's like, we're flirting. That's it. I love her. She is so funny.
But yeah, they're getting touchy-feely in this. A big through line of this episode, which we'll talk about as it gets through, is also that Nelly is like not super comfortable expressing her sexuality in front of other people. And I said, girl, me too. I hear you loud and clear. I am 7 years older than you.
One of my favorite moments with Nelly is when Blake comes up to her, he gets in her face, and she's beatboxing into the microphone. And he's like rubbing her face. And I said, she's full beatbox.
And you can tell on her face that she's like, I never really figured out how I'm supposed to react to this.
Yeah.
So she has this look in her eyes like, please let this be like, over, while she's like.
Honestly, I commend her. And maybe it's just because I think Nelly's the best. I was like, she's doing a good job beatboxing and trying to be sexual. Like those two things, I don't know how to make those two things coincide.
I don't either. This whole homework assignment was woof.
Woof. No, for real. I don't know. It's so weird. It's very, like, the most awkward we've seen these kids, which I think makes sense. And maybe, like, Allie is just, like, so bubbly and cute and awesome. And, like, every time she tries to be sexy, she just, like, has her, like, theatricalness.
Yeah.
I just laugh. It was just cringy. It was just, you know.
Yeah. It was It was an event to watch.
I know.
The winner, speaking of cringy, mm-hmm. the winner ends up being Charlie. Naya Rivera picks Charlie to win.
Yes.
Charlie has a talking head about winning where he decides to speak in the third person. He's like, yeah, so Charlie won this week. So Naya Rivera said that Charlie was the sexiest one there. So that's pretty
exciting.
I don't
remember that at all.
I was straight up like, dude, just say I.
Yeah.
Just speak in first person pronouns. This is weird.
I didn't notice that at all. Oh my gosh.
So, mm-hmm. do you have other homework assignment thoughts?
Do I have homework assignment thoughts? No, I don't.
So, they finish the homework assignment. Charlie wins.
Oh, I do have a thought.
Yes.
Naya, as soon as they finish, Naya goes, you guys sounded amazing. Like, totally, like, not like, oh my God, that was great. It's like, you guys sounded amazing. It's like, what a backhanded compliment in hindsight. Because it's like, how do you compliment any of it?
Yeah. Also, speaking of, I believe it was Story's email in the minisode, Naya Rivera's note that she gives him is like, I just, like, you all need to be confident.
Yeah.
And I was like, there it is. The curse of the guest mentor just saying confidence because I can't think of anything else.
I know. And it's a hard one, too, because, like, how do you instruct people to be sexy? Mm-hmm. And I think the, like, go-to thing is, like, be confident. Yeah. And it's, like, it's hard to be, like, sexy is this, because it's also so many things to so many different people. Shanna even says, like, to me, being sexy is, like, smiling and, like, being yeah. myself. Like, I don't know.
Honestly, this week would have given me a panic attack.
Oh, yeah.
If I was one of these kids. And I feel like in season one, Sexuality Week was, like, really awkward and, like, a lot.
Uh-huh.
Somehow it is even worse this season, at least in my yeah. opinion. Because it wasn't, like, Sexuality Week in season one. They were, like, in pairs, right? Because they sang Teenage Dream. And they were in pairs. Mm-hmm. And so you were, like, working with... It was, like, just you and your partner for the music video. And it was, like, a little more intimate. And you worked mm-hmm. with the director one-on-one.
It was a bit
and
more
he,
dancing and choreographed.
Yes.
Yeah.
This season, Robert Ulrich announces to them after the homework assignment, they're going to be doing Milkshake and Moves Like Jagger.
Yeah.
Robert Ulrich describes it as, he says this multiple times in this episode, it's a sex ed class that evolves into, quote, a boys versus girls sexy off.
Okay, the way that they describe these music videos is so bunk, I do not even understand them.
Yo. Comment in the chat if you've ever been in a class that evolved into a boys versus girls sexy off before. I think we've all been there.
Not to jump the gun here, but comment in the chat if you've ever written an essay entitled What Sex Means to
okay,
Me.
Okay, let's just get into this. So, the music video is... It's them, like, in sex ed, all of them in sex ed.
Yes.
They bring in Mary Gillis, who plays Mrs. Hagbert, I think her name is in Glee.
Like that, yeah.
You know, like the teacher who shows up every once in a while mm-hmm. who isn't like Emma or Will. She's also in Drop Dead Gorgeous. She's very good in that movie. Anyways, and like Lena says, she's teaching sex ed and she says to the class that they have to write an essay on what sex means to you. Not appropriate.
No.
I'd be so uncomfortable if my sex ed teacher asked me that.
I know.
And then,
I'd be like, I'm a child.
Sex means that I am a child and I haven't had it.
Sex means I'm a female.
And then it, like, it cuts to, like, close-up shots of all the kids, like, kind of getting hot and heavy a little bit.
I'm sorry.
It cuts to Abraham, and he's writing something in his notebook. The camera, for a split second, cuts to his notebook. What is written on the paper? Open parentheses, safe, close parentheses, sex equals fun. So, like, sex equals fun, but then, like, parentheses, safe sex equals fun. And then in big letters,
I love a PSA.
I want it now, underline.
I don't know.
Which is so, like...
What?
Like
Who wrote that?
Like a 40-year-old
yeah.
trying to be like, what would a teenager write about sex, but also something
but also,
that's appropriate
it's gotta be a PSA.
To show on network TV?
It's got to be a PSA.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I can't even deal.
Safe sex equals fun. I want it now. Honestly, I think we've all said that.
Yeah, I've said it. I've said it today.
I swear, like, at least two or three times a week, I'm talking to someone and I'm like, I mean, safe sex equals fun. I want it now. It's pretty universal.
Yeah, everyone's had that experience. That being said, this mashup is good.
It does work out very well.
It is much better than the other Moves Like Jagger mashup.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
It's not good. This one is good. It's a quality mashup.
So I agree that the songs work so good together. The choreography and blocking is like disturbing for me to watch.
Yeah.
Because one, the kids who are actually on Glee, first of all, like all look like adults. Mm-hmm. So like when they're getting sexy with each other, I'm like, okay, I know like your characters are 17, but like you're clearly 26. These kids are like straight up 18, 19.
No, absolutely.
Also, they are all in the room together, like switching partners. And there is this one part that it was so gross to me. Oh gosh, did I write who it was? I didn't. But it was like one of the girls like does a little come hither to a guy and he comes up to her and tries to kiss her. And then she sees another guy and she shoves him off and walks towards the other guy. And the look in her eyes, which I don't remember who it was, but like kudos to her. This is what she was supposed to do. But she straight up looks like a cat in heat and it made me feel gross.
Well, Naya Rivera told them to be a lion.
Well, that's what's so gross is I'm like, I don't know. First of all, it makes me uncomfortable because these kids look like kids.
Yeah.
But then beyond that, if it was like one-on-one, it wouldn't bother me. But they're all like so horny for everyone around them. And there's a part where because Charlie won the homework assignment, he's getting his feature, where he's like walking on the desk and everyone is like grabbing at his legs and like trailing their hand down. But I was like, I feel like I'm going to be put on a watch list for watching this. Like, I do not want this on my television.
I hear you. I have to be honest with you for a second.
Yes.
With our audience as well. I was obsessed with this music video when I saw it.
Because you watched it and you said, oh my gosh, safe sex equals fun. I want it now.
And I think what really happened is I have a big crush on Nelly. And Nelly was a huge queer awakening for me. Like going back and watching this, I'm like, oh my gosh. She's so cute. I love her. For real, I love her. But being like a 15-year-old watching this video, that was wild. But as an adult, I should be put on a watch list watching this, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird to watch back. And like there are moments that I remember from it. I'm like, oh my God, I remember this so vividly. And then I'm like, I remember this so vividly. You know what I mean? It just makes me feel gross. It's not fun.
And some of the choreo they do, I was like, I think this is too much for Glee.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Fox, there's a one where Eileen is between two guys, and they're all body rolling together. And I was like, I don't think that Fox would have allowed this to air.
And like, I can't tell. I feel like the sexuality that I like on Glee is the funnier tongue-in-cheek or like the sweeter stuff. Like, I really like the Teenage Dream music videos. I thought they were really sweet.
Yeah.
But this one is just like so overt and like not tongue-in-cheek even a little bit, which makes like the funny parts like just cringy and terrible. Like Charlie like smacking the teacher's bum. I was like, this is not funny to me. This is like wildly inappropriate and I don't like it.
Especially because like she gets like kind of turned on by it. Yeah. And then the music video ends with her like undoing her collar and chasing
I know it's not funny.
Yo.
Yeah.
Mrs. Hagbert.
What happened? Mrs. Hagbert, what's going
on? What's did you hear going what on with these McKinley teachers?
Did you hear what happened with Mrs. Hagbert? I can't even deal. No, for real. It's not... this music video is... I can see why they have the sexuality assignment.
Mm-hmm.
But also, what?
Yeah, like, again, when I think of sexuality on Glee...
What sexuality on Glee means to me.
What sexuality on Glee means to me is safe Glee sex equals fun. I want it now. Specifically like group sexuality, I think of Push It. I think of like all of these kids who, yes, like are horny and like want to have sex, but they're so ignorant to how it actually works and so ill-experienced that it's just like funny how awkward they are about it. Not like these theater kids who are like all horned up and actually are like rubbing up on each other and just like wang, 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 wang.
No, really.
No,
real.
Thank you.
I just like, ugh. It's, I just can't even picture this song on Glee at this point. No. You know what I mean?
No.
I can't deal. Do you think it's an Oxygen thing? Do you think that they wanted it to be funny and then it got crazy so fast? Do you know what I mean? But like the choreography is like so overt, like so overtly sexual.
Yeah.
And like not in a funny way, like in a like move your bra strap, Lily Mae way. Like it's just like way too much.
Which I don't know. It's also weird to me. Nelly has like a big arc on this episode where Nelly is like, I'm not a person. Cause even last episode or the episode
Nelly's
before,
like, I'm not a person.
She's like, I'm not a person.
I'm an angel.
But like two episodes ago when they did Party Rock Anthem, Nelly talked about how she was uncomfortable with Spin the Bottle because she doesn't want to just be like kissing random people. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, cool, Nelly, now we want you to rub up against other people. And that's kind of like Nelly's arc this episode, is that she's very unsure of herself. She's very uncomfortable in her skin. But then she ends up like really committing to it and doing a great job. And like, hear me out. We didn't see what happened. We didn't see what the producers did. We don't know what conversations were had with Nelly. So like, it could have been handled very appropriately. But watching that, I was like, but why does Nelly have to like believably be someone who's comfortable with sex to be on Glee?
Yeah.
This is a show about teenagers who are in a show choir.
Yeah.
And like, she's not auditioning for a character who's already written. So why can't her character be someone who is like really awkward about this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just weird to me that they're like, all of you have to be like so hot and sexy to get on this TV show.
No, totally. I do like Nelly has a talking head that I really like where she's like, I kind of just like was awkward for 5 minutes and then I forgot about it and just like had fun, which like it really showed like she was the one who was called back first. Like, you know, she was just like really having fun and like, you know, that came across as like, you know, being like comfortable in sexuality when she was just having fun, which I do think like if that's Nelly's idea of like, you know, being sexual, that's great. And that came across perfectly. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. Also to disagree with myself.
Okay.
I do, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like they make it so extreme. But I do also see that it's like, you don't want to cast someone on Glee who like has to do a romantic scene with their cast member and keeps laughing.
Yeah. Like if like Samuel, he like had to like nearly have sex with Quinn on the table.
He had to fully be like, you're gonna feel the fact that I popped a boner while I was
gonna feel my bonnier and I'm not gonna laugh about this legs.
And they're like, Samuel, you cannot laugh when Quinn feels your boner. And he did it.
That happened on Glee.
I frankly blocked it out.
Oh my gosh, I can't deal. What else happened in this?
All right. So we got a lot of Charlene.
We have this moment with Charlie where he's in the booth and like, I didn't know there were windows in the booth.
Either. I was that like, was a this revelation. Is new.
You know, if I, well, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Maybe that's where they put the cameras, but they're also sitting there. A new revelation here. I have many questions, but there's apparently windows from the booth.
Into the green room where the other contestants
are sitting.
Which
frankly would make me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But Charlie is like making, oh my gosh, frankly, it's a little gross to me. He's like making eyes at Eileen the whole time. And like, you know, even Nikki is like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? And it's, I don't know.
Well, and then Charlie, because Nikki's getting annoyed with it.
Yes.
Because he keeps like giggling and like looking out the window and like winking. Oh, and Nikki keeps saying to her assistant, she's like, who is he winking at?
Yeah.
And then Nikki asks him, and Charlie like so sincerely thinks that like he and Eileen have a future where he just like openly admits to Nikki that like, you know, he and Eileen like kind of have a thing going. Oh my gosh.
I love to like imagine myself in a Glee project world. Like, who would I have been on this show? Like, would I do anything
Michael.
Like this? You'd be like, I'd be Michael.
I'd be like math.
Math.
You'd be like, what what makes you feel like a little hot and heavy? And I'd be like, oh my gosh, you know that thing in algebra where instead of numbers, it's letters?
Woof.
Hot under the collar.
I didn't like that noise. No, for real. Who would I be? Would I be? I'd probably be Michael. Did you say Matthew?
I said Michael. This
I don't know why I
head.
Do that. I just say Matt so many times and Michael, and they're becoming Matthew. Is there a person named Matthew on this show?
I don't think so.
On Glee Project One?
I think it is Michael Math, and so you're just marrying the two.
I'm on drugs.
You are. That's fair. Lena is also on drugs.
Currently.
It's New York. It's what you do.
Everyone has a coke addiction here.
You guys, she's not on drugs.
I'm not on drugs. Am I on any drugs? I had Dramamine this morning.
You are on drugs.
And I had some melatonin. Oh, anyway, Matthew. Not Matthew. Michael.
Speaking of Michael.
Who would I be on this show, though? I don't know. Good to think about. Speaking of Matthew.
Speaking of Matthew, who loves Mike, Nikki Anders fully kicks him out of the booth in this episode.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I've never seen that in my life. Honestly, I was like, Nikki Anders is a bitch.
So Michael and Mario are supposed to sing a little like piece together. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to do the like, got the moves like, and they're like both doing harmonies, whatever. And they both are kind of messing it up and like not remembering the words and kind of like saying the words offbeat, but especially Michael. And it gets to the point where Nikki just straight up goes, you know, Michael, I think that's all we need from you today. Mm-hmm. Kicks him out, has Mario just recorded himself.
It is embarrassing. And like, they didn't have any papers with them. And I assume that's because Mario is blind. He, you know, doesn't read the paper like that. But like, they didn't have any papers with them. So like, maybe Michael was just used to not like fully memorizing everything and then went in with Mario and was like not prepared for what was going on. I think that's what happened.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because they didn't have like a mic stand or a music stand at all. And they usually do.
And we also see much more of Michael these two episodes than we have yet. And we just, because before truly it was just like Michael loves math. That's it. And now it's like Michael loves math. And also he's an overthinker, which like me too, Michael.
You love
good
math
to see
and you,
you
overthink.
I love math. And
do
I guess
you know
I also sometimes
I am
overthink.
Sitting on this ground. I'm so sorry to everyone who hears me rummaging around.
You're good. But I think, I think we're just, now that there's less contestants, we're seeing more and more of how in his own head Michael gets and how it trips him up.
Yeah. Which, you know what? That's a fun quality. Not a fun quality, but also, but it makes for interesting television.
It's
more so than someone who
content.
Likes math. Yeah, no hate to people who like math. I just can't relate.
Truly.
I can relate to overthinking.
Yeah. Ooh, there's also some more like stuff in the filming of this music video. Mm-hmm. There's also something that like was gross to me, which is that Abraham dyed his hair. So he used to have a little red streak in his hair.
Yes.
He has now dyed his hair. So it's all his natural color. It's all like a dark brown, black color. Mm-hmm. And they keep talking about how like Abraham just is coming across like so much better with his new hair, which I was like, oh, cool. Like he's more confident or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they specifically keep being like, it's great how Abraham is so much more
masculine. Yeah. They keep calling him masculine. He even calls himself more masculine.
Yeah, and it was like, it's because they're looking for a new Finn. Because I was like, I understand if you're auditioning for Finn Hudson, then like, yes, you want someone who can portray
who
more
have a fun
masculine
in their hair.
Yeah. But you tell these kids that like we're writing this show based on who you are.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but actually who you are is not masculine enough. Mm-hmm. So like, and I mean, to be fair, to our knowledge, they haven't told Abraham that up to this point. He
I
just
think
decided
that's
to do
just,
it.
You know.
But they keep saying like, oh, it's so great that he's more masculine now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but isn't this whole show that they're just supposed to like be themselves and you write the character based on that?
I don't know. And like, Abraham really feels empowered in these episodes. And maybe that's, you know, I love a new hairdo like that like, does make people feel empowered. And it honestly, if it does make you like make you feel more feminine or make you feel more masculine, that's a good thing. But like other people saying it like, oh, he's so like confident, he's so masculine, it's like just so off-putting. I absolutely agree.
Well, it's the equating confidence with masculinity that
makes it be like, huh? Like, feminine people can be masculine. But feminine people can be confident. Absolutely. Yeah. Weird. He does, like, do a great job in this episode. Yes. He is very confident and does a great job.
Yeah.
Like, there's that bit where all the girls, like, walk by and, like, Abraham is, like being, like, a wizard, like, commanding them sexually. It's very good moment. This music video is wild!
The other big thing about this music video is Charlie is a menace.
Oh.
Charlie is trying to do everyone's jobs. He is, like, making sure the cinematographer has the angle right. He's correcting Eric on what the direction is.
The camera bit, I was like, oh, I'm out. Like, this guy, what?
Yeah.
What?
And they even have an interview with Eric, the director, where Eric is like, I have never had someone in a music video be, like, this controlling over things that are not their job.
Mm-hmm.
It is... And I mean, Charlie's really young, you know, like he's like freaking 19.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a bad look and it lands him straight in the bottom three.
Yeah. It makes me feel bad because sometimes like I understand, sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to get things done and I want to be like the most helpful I can be. And then I end up just like undermining other people. Mm-hmm. And that's a really hard line. Like I find, and especially for people who like, love to be helpful and love to be creative and love to like be creative, you know, at the like the helm of things. That's really difficult. And I'm sure in his life, that's been like a good quality of his. Yeah. So I'm sure it's really jarring to be like, oh, I've always thought I was helpful.
Yeah.
And then like be like, oh, that's not my job. And learning that, like, that's a really, I find a hard line, especially like when you're crossing from like, especially like learning about art and theater in the theater world, at least like, and then like going into professional things where it's like, yeah, I was like very helpful with props in high school. And that was a good quality of mine. Now it's like, don't fucking touch that. That's not your job.
Yeah. And it was also like, you know, in high school, hardly anyone else was taking theater seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I like would kind of give other people direction was kind of, it was sometimes like, what is the word? I'm like enabled by the director because they're like, thank goodness we need that.
Yeah, like finally someone who cares.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then you go in a situation where like, no, everyone knows what they do and they want to be here. And now you're like, oh, this thing that was so great in high school. And everyone's like, no, that, please do not do that. That is not your place.
Well, I remember this last summer during Pirates, our friend, Michael, who she was the ASM for that show. I was like helping her put away props and she literally told me, she's like, actually, it's actually more helpful if you just give them to me and I will do it. Like, you don't want to like not do, you don't want to do my job. Like, I'm going to do my job. You do your job. And she said it in a way that was like very helpful to me. But I thought that I was just being like, you know, a good team player, but she's like, I mean, this is my job. Let me do mine, you know? And that was a good lesson for me to learn. So I feel for Charlie in this moment, but like even like the camera bit where it's like, oh, you're filming for me from this angle. It's like, oh, dang. Yeah. It's a hard lesson, but I felt that. And, you know, that's a lesson that people need to learn. It's tough to learn it on TV, though.
Truly.
I can't imagine.
Frankly, I think that to be on a reality TV show, you should be like minimum age, like 23.
Yeah.
Like these formative years, you learn so much about yourself and you learn like so much about your flaws that like you don't want all of America and all of the world to like be watching those flaws come to the surface with you.
I know. Is the age like range supposed to cap at 22?
I don't think, it has a cap. I think it's you believably can play a teenager.
Okay. I could do it.
And so I think it's just, you know, people will audition and they're like, cool, you're not called back. You don't look like you could be in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. A little rough.
So they narrow it down to the bottom three, which ends up being Charlie, Tyler, and Michael. I do have a fun fact. I mean, fun is maybe the wrong word. I do have an interesting fact about this part. So they narrow it down from, you know, they slowly release everyone and then they keep it down to the final four and they kind of like tell each of them like, hey, here's something you struggled with this week. Mm-hmm. And the final four are Charlie, Tyler, Michael, and Shanna.
Yeah.
And then they tell Shanna what she struggled with and then they're like, but we still think you did good enough to be on the callback list. Like, you're safe. So Harper Gray, which is what Shanna goes by now,
She's artist formerly known as Shanna Harper Gray.
Artist formerly known as Shanna Harper Gray. She's a country music artist. She's on TikTok. She's fantastic. She recently has been making a lot of TikToks answering questions about the Glee Project. And someone asked her, which we talked about this during our mini-sode or during last week's episode or something.
We talked about the Ryan Murphy thing in the mini-sode, yeah.
So during the mini-sode, where Harper Gray, someone asked what it was like to work with Ryan Murphy, and she was like, actually, it was really great, and I felt like he really cared about us and that we were really cared for, and he like really protected us. And this question kind of does speak to that, that someone asked, what is something that didn't make it on the Glee Project that you were surprised didn't make it? And she said, here's something that didn't make it, that I was glad did not make it. And it was during this scene, which if you watch, they tell Charlie, they're like, you were directing everyone. And they tell Michael that they were like, you were overthinking everything. You're having trouble in the booth.
You love math too much.
You love math too much. It's not relatable.
It's not relatable. I can't write a TV show about that.
The other person in the bottom four is Tyler. We'll talk about Tyler a little bit more, but they tell Tyler that they just didn't seem super confident and they were fading into the background. And each of those three people have like a whole little bit where they respond to the criticism. There's like a back and forth conversation. With Shanna, they tell Shanna, I don't remember exactly what they say.
Well, Shanna was having a tough time with things, but she was so smiley. They were really nervous that she was too smiley. And they were like, you can show us shades of being like joyful. That's what they said on the show, at least.
Yeah, they say that to Shanna and then it's just like a very brief, just kind of Shanna being like, yeah, okay, cut. Shanna is now leaving. And if you notice in comparison, her section is way shorter than the other three. It is because Harper Gray said that in that moment, she came out as a lesbian. And like, she felt that it was something that she needed to tell them in that room right then. But she was not ready to be out publicly and like to be out to, you know, the whole nation. And so I think it is very cool that like they had her back in that moment, that essentially like whatever in that criticism made her be like, oh, I need to like reveal this thing about myself. It is very cool that they recognized this is something she needed to say to the people in this room, but not the people that are watching at home. And they took that out so that she could like come out on her own terms.
I think that fact, I remember seeing that TikTok and it shook my world. Like I was like, I was trying to remember back to just this criticism and her, you know, just this bottom like three or four. I was trying to remember like how it happened and it like opened up my eyes to the show for a second. Cause I think we talk a lot of shit on the show and I think a lot of it is warranted, but seeing this where it's like, no, Harper Gray really felt cared for.
Yeah.
She really like felt like, you know, Ryan Murphy cared about her, and then they respected her enough to be like, well, this isn't a thing that she's ready to share, so we're gonna listen to her and we're gonna be respectful and we're gonna uplift her in this moment and we're gonna cut it out of the show.
Yeah,
because I think it didn't take away anything from the show to take that out, but also learning that now, I think it like opens up you know Shanna's struggle on this episode. But I don't know, it gives me a new respect for this show, which I really appreciated hearing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because like that would have made amazing TV.
Yeah. And
so it does show that at least to a degree, these producers are valuing the contestants' well-being over like ratings and audience responses.
Absolutely, absolutely. Wow. I've got so many questions for Harper Gray. I just think she's the best, which I don't know. And especially like watching it with that information, I was like, you know, trying to look closely and seeing where that could go. And I really think they did a great job just showing that she was like nervous being in the bottom three and like, you know, taking criticism just like to heart. Like that's what I got from that. So I was like, wow, the show is really good at like, you know, doctoring things to make them look like X, Y, or Z, you know. So yeah, good job them.
All right, let's talk about this bottom three.
Let's talk about the bottom three, baby.
First up, we got Charlie singing I Get a Kick Out of You by Frank Sinatra. What are your thoughts?
Thoughts are, Charlie's such a great singer.
I know.
He's such a great singer. It bugs me. He's so good.
Frankly?
Does it bug you?
Yes, because I'm like, you know, last week gave Charlie the benefit of the doubt. He went against the fight choreography. He took Mario's cane. He's very young. It was not something he should have done.
Yeah, he's a theater professional.
Yeah. And he was just getting into character as a bully. But like, you know, try to give him the benefit of the doubt of like, you're young and like, you make mistakes.
This is hard.
This week, again, I mean, he didn't put anyone in danger, but again, he is showing that like, he just will do his own thing. Like, he's not super easy to work with. He's not great at taking direction. He will just do what he wants to do. And it's so annoying because I don't super agree that Charlie should have stayed this week. I think it's like he has proved twice that he's hard to work with. He should go. But I also see why they keep him because I'm like, shoot, you see his last chance performance and he is so undeniably talented.
Yeah.
Like, I would say every time he's been in the bottom three, he has given the best performance. He is like so charismatic. He's so clearly like such a musician, understands music so well that he can like make bold choices with the song and like deviate from the melody, but it still sounds like the song. Shoot, makes me frankly frustrated.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about this season versus last season, so much of it was like, oh, if you're a girl in the bottom, you're going home. Oftentimes the girls aren't getting in the bottom because they're really, I think, being a bit more harsh with the criticism. And I think trying to hide the fact that they want a boy to win. You know what I mean? So like both of the episodes, like there were, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think I am. In the bottom, I'm trying to remember.
So the next one, like you say, the last chance performance.
Oh, and Tyler's non-binary. Wild. Never mind that. But like, you know what I mean? But no girls are in the bottom.
Yeah. The bottom three, you are correct. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and I see that they're trying to like be a little more, you know, they're trying to hide the fact that they want a new Finn. And they're trying to like, you know, be a bit more harsh with all of this. So it makes it a little confusing. Do you know what I mean? Are you following my train of thought here?
Yes. I get a vibe that Ryan wants Charlie to win so bad, but they also recognize like we can't enable this stuff that Charlie's doing. Mm-hmm. So because their solution is we'll just keep putting him in the bottom in hopes that he will learn, but we'll keep saving him every time because we want him to win.
And last season we saw so many times where it's like, no, your behavior is like number one. Your attitude is number one. That was one of my favorite things about last season. And that's just like not as much a thing this season. Maybe that's just because Ryan Murphy is just obsessed with Charlie, which makes sense. He is an incredible performer.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's an awesome guy too. I really think, and they say this about Tyler too, they're like, it's not a matter of whether they are like talented or not. It's a matter of being ready. And I get that sense from Charlie too, that like Charlie's very talented. Charlie's very hardworking. Charlie could be an awesome asset to the show. He just needs to learn like what's, you know, how to be on a TV show set. You know what I mean? Like that's a skill. I don't know.
Also, Ryan fully confesses there's a little scene when they're deliberating between the three and they're talking about Charlie and Zach Woodley goes, well, I know you love a hot mess. And Ryan goes, I do. And I was like, oh, so this is you fully confessing that like you actually kind of like when people are a little bossy and annoying on set. I wonder what that means about some of the cast members in the actual show itself. But I was like, oh, no wonder that Ryan loves Charlie because Charlie is incredibly talented. And then also Ryan weirdly has a soft spot for hot messes on set. What on earth?
I know you love a hot mess.
Dang.
That's so illuminating.
They also, Ryan asks Charlie about causing problems on set and Charlie's explanation is that he just has childlike enthusiasm. And I was like, that's a little weak.
I know. But I do think he probably sees it that way where he's like, I'm excited to be here. I want to be helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I relate to this in like the way that he thinks he's being helpful.
Yeah.
Oh, he thinks like he's like, oh, well, this is how I saw it. This is, and you know, he's got like a whole scene worked out in his brain when that's just like, no one has time for that. Yeah. And I'm sure, especially on like a film set where you're working with the light, where you're working with like a million people, it's like, that's so great that you have a million ideas. We don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, but in, I don't know. But that's something that like I think sometimes is applauded in theater where it's like, oh, well, this is what I thought, blah, 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 blah. Let's block this out, you know? I see where he's coming from in these moments. You know, it is difficult to watch, but I mean, I feel like I've been in situations like this. Yeah. Eek.
Right. Up next, we got Tyler.
Tyler
singing Smile by Charlie Chaplin.
Oh my God. How did you feel about this? Not to reveal how I felt about it, but I thought Tyler did a great job.
No, I thought it was fabulous. Yeah. I think that Tyler has sounded their best this whole episode. Yeah. Like, the homework assignment especially was the best they've ever sounded. They sound great on this Last Chance performance. No offense, Tyler. I frankly don't remember your soul in the music video because I was so traumatized by the whole
everything.
Thing. Everything. I was not watching.
I've trauma blocked it and I watched it this afternoon.
But the homework assignment and this Last Chance performance, they sound fantastic.
Yeah, totally. They talk so much about Tyler and like how they just started taking hormones and all of this, but they've got like such a control over especially their like falsetto range mm-hmm. and like flipping from a chest voice to a head voice. I was like, oh my God, I was blown away. They rock it, you know?
I have to say, and maybe this is a hot take, Ryan gives Tyler a little bit of feedback that I personally thought was like pretty articulate and like kind of wise. Where Ryan's talking to Tyler.
He gets wise.
And he's like, I respect you so much and I respect like your story and what you are doing, and he says like, I think you are so brave and it's so incredible what you're doing, but he tells Tyler, he's like, I just, you know, you're at the beginning of this journey for you and I don't know if you are fully realized enough yet to like be on this TV show.
Yeah.
Like essentially, you are so brave for taking this journey. You are on like step three of this journey right now. And in order for you to have a strong enough sense of identity to be like popping on camera and to be like very, be the focal point of these music videos, we kind of need you to be on step seven. And we understand that you're not there yet, but like, unfortunately, it's just a timing issue. Like, it's not going to work
out
right now.
And like, especially when their whole thing this season is like, you've got to be confident. Like, you've got to like kind of know yourself before you're confident. Like I don't know. That's a hard thing.
I know. And it's like, I think Tyler now, and I did research on them to do like a little, where are they now?
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know if they'd want to be on Glee now, but I think like Tyler right now would be an amazing fit for the show.
Yeah.
But while I do think that Charlie probably should have gone home instead of Tyler this week, I also do understand where the mentors are coming from, where it's like so much in your life is changing right now for the better, but because everything is so in flux, you don't have a strong enough sense of self yet to be drawing focus to yourself.
And frankly, I don't know that I would have.
Oh,
like
at this age?
Yeah. Uh-uh. I don't think it's so hard to ask a 19-year-old, an 18-year-old to have a strong sense of self. Mm-hmm. And granted, I think a lot of people do. And I think that's awesome and a great quality for them. I don't know a lot of those people. You know what I mean? Like Eileen to me is someone who has a very strong sense of self at very young. Like, you know, Allie to me seems like a very, like someone who has a very strong sense of self. I don't think that's me, you know? And that's hard. And for someone, especially when this competition is so much like, you inspire me to write a character for you. And you still are like, you know, a 19-year-old, like who is making their way in the world. That's so hard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Sure.
So Tyler goes home.
But before Tyler goes home, we got Michael singing Lucky by Jason Mraz. Michael, if we know anything about him, it's that he loves math. If we know anything else about him, it's that he's an overthinker.
Mm-hmm.
And he overthinks a little too much.
Yeah.
He forgets all the lyrics.
And he said to himself, Jason Mraz wrote this song as a duet. 1 + 1 = 2. 1 + 0 = 1. This math is wrong.
This doesn't He's like, I'm sorry. I can't. These words are not sticking. The math is incorrect.
The math is wrong. Oh my gosh. He does a good job. He forgets the lyrics really badly though. And like, you know, we've seen people forget lyrics on this show, but like,
again,
the confidence thing, like he like forgets the lyrics and like is freaking out about it and like, you know, isn't like carrying on, and they don't like that. That is a surefire way of like Ryan Murphy not liking it.
I was surprised by how well they handled it though, because Michael you know, we had like Damian McGinty forget the lyrics to Jesse's Girl, and he just fearlessly... He forgot
the lyrics. That's true.
But like, we had... Here's a better example. We had Mateus forget the lyrics to some song I don't remember. Yeah. I think Gives You Hell in season one.
Oh, sure. Yes, yes, yes.
And he just fearlessly just made up words. Mm-hmm. Michael does not hide it. And at one point gets so frustrated with himself that he stops singing and does a little like fist clench in the air. And instead of, you know, getting upset with him, I was actually very pleasantly surprised. Nikki Anders and Zach Woodley are like, keep going. You've got it.
They're the best.
And so then he just starts making up words. He'll be like, and this is my favorite part of the song. And I definitely know the words. And they're all cheering him on. Mm-hmm. It was actually very sweet and very cute.
Zach Woodley did his little, like, he, whenever he's, like, very excited, he always, like, brings his hands really close to his chest, and he's, like, he just smiles. I just love him.
Yeah.
And, like, I know how much, especially, like, you know, Robert Ulrich and Zach and Nikki really love these kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I did, like, the way that they reacted to it. Obviously, you know, his whole thing is he likes math, but his secondary thing is he's an overthinker.
Dang.
So it's something to hone in on.
I can't wait until we find a third thing about
I know. That. Michael, let us know. What's your third thing? What's my third thing? I'm thirsty. Just like for water, not for knowledge.
Oh, that's not what I thought. We're on sexuality. I don't know. Wait,
No. I don't know what that means.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
So yeah, Michael choked, but Tyler ultimately goes home. All right, here's a little where is Tyler now? Tyler has gone on to do a million things.
Good.
So they use they, them now. They identify as non-binary. They are a huge trans advocate. They are an award-winning trans advocate.
Oh, awesome.
They are an editor and a consultant. They worked for the New York Times for a while.
Oh, my God.
They are one of the founding editors.
I'm from there, actually.
We're in the New York Times right now.
We're in the New York Times.
They are one of the founding editors of Them Magazine, which is a magazine that's all about like the trans non-binary experience. They were the grand marshal of the New York City 2018 Pride Parade.
No way.
And they voice Milo on Danger and Eggs, which is a cartoon on Amazon. And they also, they've acted a few times, mostly in music videos. The like biggest music videos that they've been in is they're in a Tegan and Sarah music video called Faint of Heart.
I love Tegan and Sarah.
They play young Prince, as in like the singer Prince. Uh-huh. And then they're in Positions by Ariana Grande. They're
no.
in that music video.
No way. Shoot. We'll have to watch it.
So that's what Tyler's up to now.
Oh my God. That's like the most exciting one we've had so far.
I know. Frankly, these Glee Project season two kids like have all gone on to have stunning careers.
Well, I mean, we learned the other day that most of these kids are like, you know, not to say industry plants because that's not the right term, but it's like, you know, their agents got them.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, these were kids who like were doing stuff.
Yeah.
You
well,
know?
And like now, I mean, we haven't gotten to whether these people, you know, win or when they get eliminated or whatever. So we haven't fully looked into it. But like Lily May is on a TV show on Freeform right now. Abraham was in Clickbait, which is like a Netflix show that came out last
year. And I guess he was in The Boys that I just watched every single episode and I totally missed
he's
him.
He's in one episode of The Real O'Neills that I was watching this afternoon and I was like, is that Abraham from the Glee Project?
That's so funny. Oh, welcome back from your commercial break.
Now we're going to talk about Adopt-A-Bala-Tom. Adopt-A-Bala-Tom premiered on July 3rd, 2012, maybe 3 months before Pitch Perfect came out.
Good to know.
I feel like Pitch Perfect came out in October. Let's look it up. Pitch Perfect came out in September, so 2 months before Pitch Perfect came out.
What day?
The 28th. So kind
the day before my birthday?
Yes. Wow. What happy birthday to you, 16. Sweet 16.
Gonna spread my wings.
Sweet 16.
It's my chance to shine.
Sweet 16.
Discomforting.
Sweet 16.
There's so much more to life.
Sweet 16. The homework assignment for adaptability
is... You guys
is,
remember Hilary Duff? Oh my God.
Who is that?
I don't really know. She was on a TV show with Matthew Morrison, though.
Younger?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. The homework assignment.
Matthew Morrison was in two episodes. It was terrible.
Oh, I didn't know he was into it. I truly thought it was a one-off.
It could have been one off.
I know that he has sex with a sheep in it.
I remember I was going to tell you that in like season one, because I remember it was like so traumatizing to me to watch that I stopped watching Younger.
It is like quite a plot twist.
Yeah.
Hui.
Hui.
So homework assignment and adaptability is You Know It, You Love It, You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. They really said bangers only for this homework assignment. I love this song. Mm-hmm. The guest mentor is Kevin McHale. The winner of the homework assignment is Eileen.
Good.
The video is Price Tag by Jessie J. We're gonna take it back in time. When music made us all unite. And I was a low blouse and video girls. I literally, in my notes,
tired.
I wrote, Jessie J had to be really adaptable when she sang the acoustic version of this song.
Money, money, money.
That is one of my favorite TikTok songs of all time.
I love when people rate it.
Break it down.
I love when people rate it. They're like rating the weird things Jessie J does. I love when people rate stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like 8 out of 10. These socks, you know?
So that's the video. Price Tag by Jessie J. So because this episode is adaptability, everything's kind of weird. The homework assignment, instead of them fighting over who sings what solo, which is what they usually do, they're all given the lyric sheet with their solo already highlighted.
Like, yeah, and but like that's it. They don't get like the rest of it. They just get like little clips of them.
I thought they got all the lyrics, but it's just like the highlighted line is your solo.
Sure.
And then they get up to perform and they say, surprise, actually, you're all going to sing the entire song by yourself.
Which, like, thank God, because I didn't want to see them do a skit to You Oughta Know. Do you know what I mean? I was watching them, like, rehearse it and I said, I remember what happens and thank goodness. I don't want to see it.
And then to make them adaptable for the music video, they don't tell them what song they're going to be singing until they get to the recording booth.
Yeah.
And then they're not taught the choreography until they get to set to film.
Yes.
And then to keep them adaptable for the bottom three, what they do is, I don't remember how many people they eliminate. They take however many people, I think they take like the top three people and they're like, you're called back. And then the remaining six, they say, we're going to pair you up and you're going to do three duets. And then from those three duets, we will choose who the bottom three are. And then choose between the three of them. Which at that point, I'm like, they're not doing another last chance performance. What's the point of having a bottom three? Just have a bottom six and then send one of them home. But whatever.
Mm.
So the duets end up being...
I'm sure they just don't want to film each six of them walking into the choir room all dramatically. You know what I mean?
Yes. So the duets end up being Ali and Abraham singing Last Friday Night by Katy Perry. Abraham ends up in the bottom three. Mario and Charlie singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John and George Michael. They both end up in the bottom three. And Nelly and Blake singing Waiting for a Girl Like You by Foreigner. Waiting for a Girl Slash Boy Like You by Foreigner. They're both safe because they do have Nelly sing boy.
Mm-hmm.
When they first said that, I was like, eye roll.
I know. It's not as awkward when they perform it.
Yeah, when they perform it, I'm like, oh, no, it does make sense because Nelly is singing to Blake about Blake. Yeah. So that
But works. There's two instances in this episode where they like commend that. We'll talk about it later.
Well, let's talk about it now.
Okay,
so
perfect.
The first, we get to the homework assignment. Everyone has to sing You Oughta Know themselves the whole song they didn't realize.
And then Charlie does this thing. And I don't know why this is my biggest pet peeve of all pet peeves. It really is unwarranted by my like absolute rage whenever this happens. Whenever people like are singing especially like a cover of a song and they like change the pronouns or like change it up to be more straight, I just hate it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I don't know if that's just like me being like the integrity of the art, blah, 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 or if it's like my straight phobia. You know what I mean? Like, I can't tell, but it genuinely bothers me every time it happens, and it has for a long time.
Here's the deal. It feels like a little passively homophobic to me.
Yes!
Because when Nelly and Blake sing the Foreigner song, like you said, once they perform it, I was like, oh, storytelling-wise, Nelly is singing about Blake. So it makes sense that she sings Boy Like You because she's singing about Blake. And you know, like, if, like, I was singing You Oughta Know...
Mm-hmm.
About, like, that didn't work out. But like, if I was in a show and I was singing You Oughta Know, mm-hmm. and I was singing it about a character who was a woman, mm-hmm. then great, flip the pronouns yeah. because it makes sense. Or if like I was singing a love song to my partner and I was like dedicating it to them and the pronouns didn't match, like sure,
yeah.
switch the pronouns because it's like about your partner.
And I think in Jagged Little Pill, the musical,
they do change some of them.
Yeah, because yes. it works like thematically yes. with the story. Yeah.
But if you are just singing this song to sing it, it is not in a larger story and it's also not about like a specific real person that you're like dedicating the song mm-hmm. to. Just sing the pronouns that are in the song.
I know.
Like, are you so afraid that someone is going to be like,
you're
oh, you're gay? Oh, what? You sing this song about you how you used to date a boy? Does that mean you actually used to date a boy?
Like, oh my God, what are you gay?
I agree. It also, it's got big time Santa buddy vibes.
I will never forgive Matthew Bublé for that. Like, shut up.
You just said Matthew Bublé instead of Michael Bublé. If there's one thing we know about Michael Bublé, it's like he loves math almost as much as he
does
Christmas.
Those names are the same to me. Oh my God. I didn't mean to. Matthew Bublé. Those words are the same. You know what? Also, I always mix up Robert and Michael. Generic boy names are weird. That one doesn't make any sense.
That one's weird.
I know. What's with my head? But you know what? I don't fuck up the pronouns of sons. And maybe this is because I like have a little like queer privilege where I don't have to do that. But also, shut the fuck up. It is like passively homophobic. I don't like it.
Yeah.
What are you, gay?
Did you kiss someone that's your same gender?
What, you have a crush on a boy and you're a boy? Would you have a crush on girls and girls? Boys and boys and girls and girls?
In New York? You can love who you want, boys and boys and girls and girls?
Anyway, it's just freaking bugs me. And even Kevin McHale, certified queer.
I know. Capital G gay Kevin McHale.
He goes, I commend you. And I said, Kevin McHale, shut the fuck up. What are you, gay? Anyway, it really bugs me. I don't like it. Nelly can do it, but I was telling Kate in my roommate when we were watching it, I was like, she's just be saying, I've been waiting for a girl like you. Girl meaning me. She's waiting for me. I love you, Nelly. Did you hear? I was stalking her social media, not to like out her, but she's bisexual. And I said, a whim.
And you said, I've been waiting.
But she's in a relationship.
Well, on to You Oughta Know. So, speaking of Matthew who loves Mike, how he forgot the words to Lucky and had an absolute meltdown. Shanna forgets the words. Well, she didn't forget the words, you know. She learned her solo and then was like surprised you have to sing this whole song. She didn't know the words.
Yeah.
So she doesn't know the words to You Oughta Know. And that girl sells
it. She goes, I don't know the words, but I'm gonna keep singing it. And I said, honestly, good rewrite, sister.
Honestly, and it's fun.
It's fun. And she's like doing a little dance.
I was fully jealous of all these kids. This song is one of the most fun
songs.
Dude,
you'd be like rolling on the ground. That would be so fun.
I have considered putting it in my audition.
You should. Are you kidding?
I feel like it's too weird for me to be singing.
Yeah, and you'd probably have to change the pronouns because what are you?
Yeah, because I'm singing and be like, oh my gosh, you have unresolved issues about a man. What are you, gay? I'm sorry, who are you bugging in the middle of dinner? Is it a boy? Are you gay?
Anyway, that's so funny.
Anyways, I might be putting this in my book. Everyone stay
but
tuned.
Also, maybe not.
But also not because I don't want them to think I'm gay.
That's the funniest thing ever. I'm going to die. Anyway.
Santa's just a platonic friend.
Yeah, Santa, my buddy. Bring me a check. You guys are your buddy for money? No.
God, what are you, gay? So, the winner of the homework assignment is Eileen. This truly is Eileen's episode.
No, she kills it. Good for her.
I mean, I frankly, she was good in the homework assignment. I don't really remember it. But like,
she was great in the homework assignment. I'll tell you what.
She is so good in every aspect of this episode, specifically the music video. We'll get to it. She's incredible.
Yeah.
So, these kids go to the vocal booth. They just learn what song they're doing when they get there. They have to like essentially have their line played out for them and then sing it back. Kudos to Nikki Anders. She can be so rude sometimes. She is so incredibly nice to every one of these kids.
I know.
And she also makes a very interesting observation where she's like, I feel like most of these kids are singing better than they have yet. Because they're so not in their head because they just learned the music.
It's
because
a bunch of these kids are overthinkers and math lovers.
Yeah, she's like, just, some of these kids are thinking so much about math usually.
Yeah.
But now, because she does specifically shout out Michael, that she's like, Michael, like, you're making such great choices and you're like having so much fun this week. And he's like, I know, it's like I'm not even thinking about math.
Yeah, you're saying way less equations to me than
like,
normal.
I haven't calculated pi in hours.
I'm really behind. But there's no time to think about math when you're just thrown in the booth.
Yeah, come on.
And no one knew this song, which I was like, was it brand new at the time or something?
I guess.
But I feel like this song is pretty popular.
Hear me out.
What?
Pitch Perfect hadn't come out yet. We hadn't gotten
the absolute anomaly.
The Barton Bellas singing Price Tag by Jessie J.
Oh my gosh. They're going to know in September.
I was like, you guys just wait 2 months. You will know this song.
You will know.
You'll know it song. In the biblical sense.
You're going to lie with this song.
You're going to lie with this song and you will like it.
You're going to like it. What do you get?
Make sure you change the song's pronouns because what are you, gay?
What are you, gay? You can't let people know you're queer. Anyway, we can say that, you guys. If you're getting mad at us, don't. Anyway.
You guys, we're queer.
We're queer.
That's why we don't change pronouns in songs.
I never change pronouns in songs because I like everybody.
Okay, so they're doing Price Tag, obviously, for the music video. Mm. The concept is literally class warfare. It is.
I hate this music video.
Okay.
And when Michael explains it, I'm like, I'm over this. You know what I mean?
Hot take. I agreed with you until I watched the finished product and I said, wait, why is this the most fun thing I've ever seen in my life?
I understand it's fun, but it's because these kids don't understand what's going on. It's like, yes. I know we're all rich kids, but let's pretend to be poor for a minute.
That
like, forget about the money for a
gross.
Minute. Let's just pretend to be poor.
So, the concept.
What are you, poor?
The concept. Eileen's sitting with her phone. She's like, you're wearing those white t-shirts. What are you, poor?
What are you, poor?
So, the concept of the music video is it's all these rich kids, and they're all at Universal City Walk because freaking Universal is like sponsoring this television or something. I don't know why they keep going there.
I wonder if Universal is like a sponsor of Oxygen.
They might be. And so all these rich kids are at City Walk and they're all just like so rich they can't be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of these broke kids, as Eric says, come out. They're wearing the poor kid uniform. You know when you're
like,
poor
very nice
and
blue,
you wear like
very nice blue
very
jeans.
Nice Levi's and then like a black t-shirt with a white t-shirt over it and the sleeves rolled up.
Mm-hmm. Like double V-neck.
Yeah, double V-neck, black and
double
white.
Double U-neck.
I see someone walking down the street and I say...
You're not laughing at that joke, what? The double U-neck.
That truly did not even click.
I know. I'm not even laughing because that's genius. A double V-neck is just a W-neck.
It's because I was setting up another joke.
Oh, sorry. Keep setting up
Which was
joke.
Every time I see someone with a black t-shirt and a white t-shirt over it, double V-neck, I say, what are you, poor?
What are you, poor?
That's a poor uniform.
No, you guys are all wearing flare bootcut jeans.
Come on, double U neck. So, the broke kids come out.
Not as funny as I wanted it to be. It's just genius.
The broke kids come out and they're all having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then one by one, each of the rich kids is exactly like Lena said. They see the poor kids and they think, they're having so much fun. So how about I just pretend to be poor and also have fun. So one by one, they all put on the like poor kid uniform and they all dance together until it's just Eileen left.
Yeah.
And then the music video ends with Eileen coming over and being like, fine, I'll pretend to be poor too.
Yeah.
A lot is wrong with that concept. You know, these rich kids still have their privilege. They're still rich.
Literally, the way that when they explained the music video to the kids, I was like, this has to be a joke. Like, they're explaining it, and then they're going to give them a brand new thing when they come in. Like, and even Robert is like, oh, they don't know everything about the music video before they get there. And I'm like, oh, so they're going to spring something on them that's like, oh, the music video isn't what you thought it was. That's not the truth.
No.
It's just wild.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a weird idea. Mm-hmm. But Eileen's performance is so strong. It saves the whole video for me. I had a great time.
No, she's so cute.
So there's like a whole little, because Eileen is the last, you know, she's the last rich mm-hmm. person to give in. And there's like a solid 15 seconds of the music video where everyone else is all dancing together and Eileen is still at her table on her phone mm-hmm. and it keeps cutting to her glaring at them and rolling her eyes and checking her phone. She is in it. Mm-hmm. She is getting her SAG card from that performance.
I know, literally.
She is so funny.
Would you get your SAG card from a reality TV show?
I don't know. I have no idea how the film union works.
Me either. Let us know. You know who else is just in it to win it?
Who?
Charlie. I don't think Charlie does a great job, but he like makes this whole character, and it's he does like the method guy thing mm-hmm. where he's like, I'm gonna be in character all day long. What's
exactly what he did
name?
When he was a bully.
It's Scott Campbell. Yeah. Kate and I, my roommate, when we were watching it, we were like, Scott Campbell, that is the most ridiculous thing, that we kept being like, Scott Campbell, no. Scott Campbell, please. Like, Scott Campbell, like, what the heck. He was so weird. He was so funny.
Yeah, he does a whole thing, like Lena said. He's very in character. It keeps cutting to him, like, on the phone having pretend conversations.
Yeah, which they're funny. Like, if you listen in, they're funny. They are legitimately I'd be funny. Laughing my ass off if I was around him.
It's also funny because I was led to believe that Scott Campbell was going to be in this video a lot. Charlie is the second person to jump ship.
Yeah.
And so he's only, like, this character he's made up for, like, the first 10 seconds. Literally. And then it's gone.
I know, literally. It's so funny. But, like, his big thing this episode is they're really upset with him that he, like, you know, is, like, stealing focus and, like, not blending into the crowd. Mm-hmm. That's another lesson that I think is, like, hard to learn for a lot of these kids is, like, to blend in but also to stand out is very difficult, because then we have Nellie on the other side who's blending in too much. You know yes. what I mean? That's just, like, a very hard line to toe.
Yeah. So another person who's having some issues with this music video is Mario.
Yes.
Eric just feels like Mario is not really giving a performance. He's just kind of like chilling on his own, which I mean, like, is an issue, whatever, whatever. But the big issue is then when Eric tries to give Mario the note to be like, hey, I kind of like, I need you to like be giving me something more. Like, don't just be kind of like inside yourself so much. Mario fights back against it and is like, well, that's not really what my character is. There's a very funny exchange where Eric is like, okay, well, like, who is Mario? Like, what's your vibe? And Mario says, my vibe is girls and money.
And I said, I love that.
But Eric is, you know, he's trying to give Mario this note as like, what you're doing is not reading on camera. I need you to try this other thing. And Mario just is not taking the note and is kind of like, well, I made this decision for my character, so I'm going to keep doing this thing for my character.
Yeah, that's what's happening there. Who else is in this music video?
So the bottom three, I think we've talked about all the big stuff, because the bottom three end up being Charlie, Mario, and Nellie. And Nellie, she's fading in. Mm-hmm. Charlie, he's not being a team player. He's sticking out too much. And Mario is not taking direction.
Yeah. Well, it's the bottom six this episode, right?
Oh my gosh, you're so right.
Yeah.
But those end up being the bottom three.
Well, Nellie isn't in the bottom three.
Oh, this is fully my guess for bottom three.
Oh, that's your guess?
I forgot to mark it as a guess. Hi, everyone. We went on a wild ride. Okay. Abraham is the other bottom three, but Lena is so correct. It's bottom duets. So
well, I usually am.
Everything I just said, that's true.
I usually am correct.
That's
with everything I say, especially when I mix up the names Michael and Matthew.
So, bottom six, it's those duets we talked about before. There is a moment. I have a hard time with Mario. Because Lily had this issue too, where Lily, whenever she would get a note, she would kind of fight back against it, mm-hmm. and she would like get a little prickly and really get defensive. Yeah. And we talked about that at length. And you know, maybe we're just not seeing it happen anymore because the editors aren't putting it in. Or maybe Lily just isn't getting notes anymore.
Yeah.
But it at least to us as viewers, really seems like Lily took that criticism to heart mm-hmm. as like you get defensive and you don't take the note and she is working on it and she has been much better to work with. Mm-hmm. Mario has gotten that same criticism and continues to get defensive and fight back whenever he's critiqued. Yeah. Because even when they are kind of like talking to the people in the bottom six about why they're in the bottom six and why they didn't get called back immediately, Mario then once again digs his heels in mm-hmm. and is like, well, I didn't understand the direction I was given. I think the direction I was given wasn't very clear, so I was having a hard time interpreting it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, Mario, you just need to take the note. Like, you're just digging yourself a deeper hole every time you do this. And especially if you do it every time you're given a note, it can't be not your fault every single time.
Again, I just think that that's like a very... we said this before. It's hard to learn how to take a note. It's really hard. And it's hard to like put your heart and soul into something and then have someone tell you that it wasn't successful.
Yeah.
You know, like that's hard. So I don't know. I relate to Mario's struggles in this moment, but it's, you know, and then I don't know. Mario also had that like tussle with the rest of the kids when they were like, Mario, you don't know how to like respond to criticism. Mm-hmm. So this has just been a running theme with Mario.
Yeah. So first up in Duet Land mm-hmm. is Blake and Nelly sing Waiting on a Girl / Boy Like You by Foreigner.
Yeah. I love Foreigner so much. I
also love Foreigner
so much. This song is awesome. Yeah. Holy moly. And they do such a good job. Mm-hmm.
And they very clearly like have a whole storyline rehearsed.
Yeah. It's also like, funny, who are they?
Because when they walk out, I would say they have the worst introduction of any of the mm-hmm. duets. Because the energy is truly on the floor.
I know.
They walk out and they're like, hey everyone, so we're going to be singing Waiting on a Girl / Boy Like You by Foreigner. And then all of a sudden they turn this, it like, on.
I know. I get the sense from both of them that they're like, they're probably not super close, those two.
Yeah.
But they're both like really good actors.
Yes.
So they like know how to like turn that on, which, you know, respect.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like to be an awkward girl.
Also, Nelly has such an incredible voice.
I am in love with her. It's for real. I just think she is the shit.
She has like such a unique and different voice. I love it.
I would have loved for her to be on Glee.
Spoiler alert. But me too.
I'm sorry. I forget we're doing spoilers for this one. It was just so, you know, we knew last time. Anyway, yes. She's so cool and she's got like the best voice and she's everything about her is so 2013. It sets my heart on fire. Just I love her for
she
real.
She is pitch perfect. She's a Bart Bella.
She could be.
The one thing about this performance that made me laugh is they keep instead of being like, I've been waiting, they keep overpronouncing it. I've been waiting. For a girl.
And like they're
you.
Both doing it, so they obviously talked about it.
Yeah,
they're like, weird. Let's do waiting. Who do you think suggested that? Blake or Nelly?
I think it was Blake.
I agree. Because she's like a big band singer. Like she doesn't care about like hard tease.
And Blake is much more like an actor.
Yeah, he's like, I always use diction.
Yeah, so I can see him being like, our diction needs to be stronger.
Yeah.
All right, next duet. Ali and Abraham singing Last Friday Night by Katy Perry. This one feels like the antithesis of the last one, yeah. where Blake and Nelly were so rehearsed and so clear on this is what we're doing.
And like Blake and Nelly, like obviously are like working relationship first.
Yes.
Yeah.
This felt like Ali and Abraham were like learning the song. And then when they talked about choreography, they're like, we'll just feel it when we're out there.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we're friends. So we're going to have fun. Yeah.
It's frankly very awkward.
I think this is one of the worst Last Chance performances I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I feel so bad. I think Abraham just kind of got into his own world. You can see Ali like really trying to like interact with Abraham mm-hmm. and it's just not working. Like there's this moment where Ali puts her hand out because they obviously decided that he would like spin her and he fully like is like looking out and then like goes to grab her hand. Like he's like, oh, shit. Like this is the thing we had to do. Like I get the vibes that like, oh, these two are so close that they kind of just like kind of.
Yeah, they're like, our chemistry will sell it.
Yeah, it was like, it did not. I was like, this is a train wreck.
Yeah, and they keep doing that thing, which I have been in this situation, where like the one looks at the other and then is like, oh, they're not going to look back at me. So they look away just as the other one finally looks at them. Yeah, it's like, so they like, just keep missing each other.
Yeah, it's so awkward. It makes me feel sad too, because it's also like, it's hard. I feel like they were kind of set up. This song is not a great duet song.
It's not a duet song. Period.
Like, there's no like, there's obviously like a story, like the story of Last Friday Night. But there's no like I've been waiting for a girl slash boy like you, like has some sort of stakes in it. The other song like has some sort of stakes in it. This one is just like kind of fun. Like, and how do you make that a duet? And like duets are a little more difficult than solos in the sense of like, why are you with this person? Why are you singing with this person? You know? Yeah. So it's like, how do you make that work? I don't know. I don't know that I would have done a good job. I don't, you know, so.
Yeah.
I've been waiting.
Shout out to Zach Woodley though. It shows the mentors a few times and you can see on their faces that they're like, okay.
Like,
and then it shows Zach and he's just like so supportive and like proud to see Abraham and Allie up there doing their thing. Come on, Zach
Those
Woodley.
Those are his friends. Those are his babies.
Goodness sakes.
Zach Woodley, I love you.
And up last, we got Charlie and Mario singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John and George Michael.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot to say about this one.
I don't either.
I think Mario and Charlie end up in the final three much more based on how they are to work with, not this duet.
Yes, agreed.
I will say, these were the two worst personalities to put in a room together and say do a duet.
I know, I agree.
It is, which they even acknowledge. They have talking heads with each of them where they're like, I really like to lead and the other person really likes to lead. So this is going to be a roller coaster. And they are just like bickering in the dressing room, cannot agree on anything. Mm-hmm. It's really awkward. Both of them are so unwilling to compromise. Mm-hmm. Yo.
Yeah. I'm glad we only saw, because, you know, Charlie and Mario have this interaction where Charlie is like, can we listen to it out loud? I really like to listen to it out loud. And Mario's like, I really would prefer to like start learning the lines on my own first, which like, that's so hard. You know, like two different learning styles in a room is already so difficult. And it's like, oh, well, I want to do it like this. I want to do it like this. That's really difficult. But I'm glad that that's the only thing we saw. And I hope that they like found some kind of common ground afterwards. Cause I think, you know, I think it wants us to believe that they like fought the entire time, but I get the sense that like, they just like, you know, were butting heads in that first moment. Cause they did a good job.
Yeah. In the duet, they seem like very comfortable with each other and they're like telling a story and have a relationship with each other.
Yeah. They like obviously like sat down and like, you know, made characters. There was this moment where they finish up and Ryan, I don't know myself. So Ryan goes, I thought it was great. And both Kaden and I thought, he said, I thought it was gay.
He said,
what are you, gay?
Why don't you change the pronouns? That seemed a little gay.
Are you hugging? That seems gay.
Why are you touching this guy? Are you gay? Why are you singing a song by Elton John and George Michael? What are you, gay?
For real, we thought he said that's what it was. What are you, gay? I thought it was gay. Yeah, but they do a good job, and I agree. Like, they're obviously more on the bottom because of how they are to work with, which genuinely I appreciate. That is something like that I appreciated about Glee Project Season 1 is that like they were nervous about they were really all about your attitude. So I appreciate them talking about that this season.
So bottom three ends up being Abraham, Mario, and Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Mario goes home. I disagree. I do think that Mario has some issues he needs to get over.
Yeah, totally.
But Charlie is also hard to work with.
And this is the second time in the same thing.
The third time.
Oh, yeah.
This is three in a row where Charlie has been in the bottom three, not because of his talent, but because he's hard to work with. But Ryan loves a hot mess, so Ryan keeps keeping him. Yeah. And I get a feeling that Zach Woodley does not like it. Because there's a moment when they're deliberating and Ryan is just talking about the kids and like what his decision is going to be. And he's so matter of fact. And Zach clearly looked like to the side of him, at least to me, looks very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I feel like it is, Charlie is like, it's no secret Ryan's favorite. Mm-hmm. Like freaking his initial audition, Ryan stopped him halfway through the song and said, "You're amazing. You are perfect. You're in."
Yeah.
So like, Ryan is just saving him and refusing to see anything.
And this, Zach keeps putting him in the bottom because he's like, "I'm not putting up with it."
And I think Zach is kind of like, "I really think we should be rethinking this. I don't think he's going to be a good fit on the show because like, yes, he's talented, but he keeps causing problems."
Yeah.
But shoot, Mario goes to the bottom because he's not Charlie. So
yeah, which that's a whole other can of worms. I absolutely agree. I don't know. Because I feel like Mario, a couple weeks ago, when he sang Summer with a Rainbow, like a similar thing happened, but I felt like he was resolved to learn. You know what I mean? And I get the sense from Mario, and he was saying, he had a talking head, he was like, "I do feel like I, if I come back, I could like work, you know, and get it done." Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just sad. Because like Charlie, you know, this is the third time.
Well, and I think, you know, I think that Charlie is aware that he has stuff to work on. Mm-hmm. I mean, in this episode, Charlie and Eileen straight up have a conversation where Charlie is like,
"I love
we need
that
to
bit.
End our relationship. We need to just be professional because like it's affecting our how we're performing." And I'm sure Eileen was like, "It's not affecting how I'm doing, but okay." But like clearly, you know, Charlie is taking strides. He does realize that like he's having problems, but it still is enough of an issue that it keeps causing problems every week. Totally. Like freaking, we sent Tyler home because they weren't in the right spot yet. Mm-hmm. I think that Charlie in like some time, because he is very talented and clearly is trying to be more professional, could get to a spot that he'd be a great person to work with.
Absolutely.
He's not there yet. Mm-hmm. So like,
no, I agree. Absolutely. No. Completely agree.
So Mario now is a songwriter and author and a motivational speaker.
Awesome.
He's also a journalist for, I may mispronounce this, Genleon Magazine. It's Jenleion. So that's what Mario's Genleon up
makes
to
sense
now.
Sense to me. Yeah, that's awesome. Great. Yeah.
Shoot. Well, that's adaptability. That's the Glee Project.
Whoa, that's the entire Glee Project. It actually ends.
It ended there.
It actually ended.
And they said, "You know what? No one's going to be written onto season 4 of Glee."
They said, "Actually,
they said we got vibes because you guys weren't changing pronouns that you were all gay,
and we can't have gays on the show.
We can't have gays on Glee.
Glee is not for gays.
Hashtag Glee hates gays."
That's the episode.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Well, Ian, do you have a favorite part of these episodes?
My best performance. Was we're gonna disagree on this one. My best performance was Price Tag. I agree that like it's got some inherent problems in the concept.
Yeah,
but man, Eileen really put her whole foot in that. She is so good. Job. She's so funny. My best part. I liked the twists in Adaptability Week.
Yeah, they were way nicer than the twists in the other one.
Because, season one, when they did Tenacity, it kind of felt like they were just setting them up to be like, be used to getting abused. Mm-hmm. But this was fun and was, you know, Kevin McHale even says to them, like, this happens to us all the time. You go into the recording booth and find out that your solo lines changed. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you didn't have time to learn the choreography, so you're learning it on set. I just thought it was, like, a very fun way to keep everyone on their toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So those twists were exciting.
Those twists were exciting. I agree.
What was your best part?
I think my best performance is probably Eileen in, you know,
I could not tell what that was supposed to be at first.
I forgot the name. You oughta know. I thought that was probably my best performance. Or Nelly in I've Been Waiting for a Girl/Boy Like You. Mm-hmm. And then I think my best part was probably Nelly being like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. Like, she's like, I forgot to be awkward and I just had fun. And I just think, especially in like the sexuality lesson, that is so fun and empowering, mm-hmm. you know, hearing that like, yeah, I was awkward, but then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun. Yeah. I love that.
All those kids were like very good vibes, supportive of each other mm-hmm. during that shoot. Like when they were being given these this choreography that was like so suggestive and could be so awkward, every time one of them would try it, everyone would be like cheering and be like, oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, totally.
It was nice.
I love, yeah. That was fun. I get the sense that they're really trying to, like, amp up this beef between Eileen and Lily that, like, just doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially, like, when you see them interact, they obviously, like, get along. It's only their talking heads that they, mm-hmm. like, are, like, talking each other. And I think that is so funny and weird. What's your worst part?
My worst part is freaking Ryan Murphy just loving a hot mess and just... And once again, like, I don't have anything against Charlie as a person. Mm-hmm. I just think he's young. And the fact that Ryan Murphy will, like, look past everything he does because he loves a hot mess, mm-hmm. whereas other people got cut because they weren't ready yet. So why on earth is this kid getting, like, every single get-out-of-jail-free pass possible? Yeah,
absolutely.
What is your worst part?
I agree with that for sure. Do we have another worst part, though? Probably, I want to sex you up just as a thing. It's just like, it was the most awkward, which made me don't tell anyone I said this. It made me miss season one a little bit and their awkwardness, mm-hmm. but also it was like, oh, the veil's been pulled from my eyes. I know that they're awkward. You know what I mean? So it was like exciting to see, but also like very gross. And I really hated it. I just hate it. Never mind. That was my worst part.
Well,
heck,
that's a Glee project.
The whole thing.
That's the entirety of the Glee project. Next week, we're going to start doing some fun fan fiction about what the rest of season two could have looked like. So we're going to make up episodes.
Yep.
Those episodes are Fearlessness and Theatricality.
I have a guess. I think it's going to be Fearlessness and Theatricality.
Oh my gosh, you're correct.
What? Yes.
So we actually have filmed, scripted, and produced our own fan fiction version of these episodes with lookalike actors. Mm-hmm. You can find those episodes allegedly on the subreddit and the post I talked about earlier, on the Discord and the area I talked about earlier. If you have thoughts about the Glee Project Season 2, send them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com. If you want to buy some merch, if you want to buy some Recovering Gleek Friend of the Podcast,
my merch is coming this week.
T-shirts, hoodies. I'm wearing my hoodie right now. Lena's merch is coming this week.
No, I got the pink long sleeve, you guys.
The pink long sleeve is what Lena got. You can find those. The link is on our link tree, which is in all of our social media bios. It's also, if you like don't want to click that, go to bonfire.com and then just search Recovering Gleek.
You can find those obviously on our social media, like Ian said, and those social medias are @recoveringgleek_podcast for Instagram and also TikTok, and then @recoveringgleek for Twitter.
Heck yeah. If you want this podcast to reach the ends of the earth, which why wouldn't you?
I was on that plane this morning and they said they had podcasts and I was like, oh my God, do you think they have ours? They don't.
If you want this podcast to be on a Delta planes, flight. To be on Delta Airlines and live
this in a fucking nightmare,
then leave us a review. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. I think that's it.
I think that is it.
Everyone, thank you for being here. We love you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Go spread some glee. And remember, safe sex equals fun. I want it now.
I can't believe that.
It's my safe sex and I want it now.
But for real, practice safe sex, you guys. That's all. Have a awesome, I was going to say a merry rest of your week. I'm going to say it.
It's the 19th century in England.
Have a merry rest of your week.
Have yourself a merry rest of your week.
Here is a kiss on your forehead from me to you if you accept.
Ooh, that was bad. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I've never experienced this much noise living somewhere.
Yeah, right? What is your neighbor doing right now?
I don't know. Probably boning.
Oh, like, and like music the bass
that loud
to...
has to be for sex, right?
Honestly, I respect it because I have been next door to people who didn't think to play music. And
me too.
Really was like, I can't unhear. I know that safe sex equals fun and you want it now, but I don't want it now. I would love to not be privy to this.
I don't. And you know what? I don't.